Hello everybody, I'm Bruce Kyle. I'm an architect evangelist. I work with Microsoft Corporation and I talk with software companies in Oregon, Washington, Utah, Colorado, and wherever you are. Today we're going to talk about how you can use the new parallel framework in .NET 4 to parallelize your application, or how you can take advantage of the multiple cores in the current modern architectures. Mainly, we're going to talk about how you use threading and how you use tasks and how they are different and when to use which. And first of all, I'd like to thank Rob Bagby for the code that I'm going to show today. I'd like to thank Jeffrey Richter of Windelect for his invaluable additions and help in putting this presentation together. And I'd also like to thank Justin Etheridge for his information that he provided on his blog, CodeThinked. Today's talk is about threads versus tasks, and it's actually part two of how you go about parallelizing your application. Part one, we talked a little bit about why you do it, or the reasons behind, actually the motivations to use parallel framework in your applications. And in part three, we're actually going to walk through the various ways you can use system.threading.tasks in your applications. And there'll be three different ways to do it. I'll talk a little bit about them here, but in part three, I'll actually show you how it works. So when do you use the parallel APIs? Well, threads are expensive in space, memory, and time. In memory, every thread gets 1 megabyte of user mode stack, or 24K on a 64-bit system, of kernel mode stack and other data structures. The point is that it takes a lot of memory to run these. In fact, in a 32 address space, you can only create around 1,360 threads per process. Because memory is so intense, you can use up to 2 gigabytes of space. And when you use that much memory, you won't have enough to do any of your other work. And I'm actually going to show you how that affects your application today. It also takes time to use threads. Time, Windows has to allocate the data structures and then initialize them. Destroying them takes time, and switching between thread contexts also takes time. Threads are very useful when you have a single user and you have a user interface and you want to do something asynchronously and give control back to the user while the program is thinking. That's a perfect place for threads. It's also a pretty good one for tasks, because tasks will take care of using it on a multi-core system. But threads are primarily used to simulate the idea of multiple things happening on a single processor. So the main reason for tasks over thread is that with tasks, it becomes easier to guarantee that you're going to maximize the performance of your application on any given system. Tasks in .NET 4 don't actually correlate to a new thread. Tasks are executed on a new thread pool that is being shipped with .NET 4. Tasks, or more accurately the new thread pool, automatically try to optimize the number of cores available on your box so that they are good for high compute scenarios. So when you do compute, you're using multiple cores when you're using tasks. That maximizes how you use tasks in your particular application. That said, you need to be careful about using either of these, threads or tasks, in your application. Not everything will speed up just because you put it into a task, because tasks still have a certain amount of overhead to them. Tasks work best when you have lots of compute-intensive work that you can spread across multiple processors. It can be useful for input-output or for waiting for a result across the wire, kind of like waiting for a SQL command to return. But you need to remember that the file system and these results from the web service are not really parallel operations. So you need to be aware when you use tasks and to test them in your application. And if you have a side effect in your task, so if you have something in your task that is needed by some other task or simultaneously somewhere else, you're going to have bugs that are very difficult to reproduce. So you need to be very careful whenever you use tasks. So threads basically run on a single thread, run on a single core. They're context switching. It happens a lot. So a thread of execution results from a fork in the computer program into one or two concurrently running tasks. On a single processor, multi-threading does time division multiplexing, so the processors switch between different threads. And this is really good for asynchronous operations, but is very intensive on context switching. Tasks, on the other hand, are executed on a brand new thread pool that's shipped in .NET 4. And they have different properties than threads, different ways to actually execute. Threads automatically take advantage of the multiple processors. And you can think of a task as an asynchronous operation that has no side effects. And the interesting thing about tasks is they can return a value back to the caller. So if you're going to fire off multiple threads that are going to be doing heavy bound CPU work, then on a single core machine, it's very likely that the work is going to take significantly longer. So as you see here in this diagram, that threading has overhead. And when you're trying to execute more CPU bound threads on a machine than you have available to run, then you run into problems. Each time the CPU has to switch from a thread to another thread, it causes a bit of overhead. And if you have all these threads running at once, the context switching can happen quite often, and so it can actually take longer than if you had just executed the call synchronously. So as you see, when we use tasks, we aren't switching between pieces of work. We don't have the context switching as we do in threads. In fact, what we have is the task running on two separate cores. So we simply execute work one can be executed on one core, and the work two here in this example can work on the other core. And the two sets could actually get executed simultaneously, not appear to be simultaneously as in threads, but actually simultaneously. So .NET 4 provides a whole bunch of ways to improve or to make it easy for programmers to use tasks. And what I want to do is first just mention that there are three different ways of using the system.threading.tasks. And these are the three that we're going to really show and call out better in the third session. But I wanted to quickly explain what each of these big $3 words mean here. That when I say imperative task parallelism, what I'm really saying is that you're using the system.threading.tasks classes and methods. And that when I call it, and when the documentation talks about imperative data parallelism, it's really talking about parallel for each and invoke. And that whenever it talks about declarative data parallelism, it's really talking about linked to objects. So in this particular video, I'm going to talk about imperative task parallelism. I'm going to talk about classes and methods that use the system.threading.tasks. And so here I'm going to introduce these to you. So first of all, is the most common way to create a task is to do the task system.threading.task and then use the task class and then the factory method and then start new, factory static method, and then start new. What this does is it creates a brand new task and it starts it. Or in the second group is on this slide here, you can create the task and then start it and use it, wait, and just keep it around, and then when you need it to go ahead and start it. Now wait, what it does is it basically waits until the task is completed before continuing on with your particular code, and then you can go out and get the result. So each task has static methods of wait all, or you can give it a list of tasks that you want to wait for to complete before you move on with your code. There's also continue with. So here we create a new task that gives you back date time now, and it creates this task, and then I can continue with the second task where I can get a result back from some other task. And so I can walk through these one at a time And they'll just start in whatever order that I want them in. The other cool thing about TAS is that it has the parent-child relationships. So I can start a new task and then I can nest them. And then then whenever I call wait, it waits until all the child classes or all the child relationships are done before continuing. The other thing I'd like to call out on this slide is that it's easy to get back a result. So here up in the second line of code there, I've got console.writeline t.result. In this case, I bring back whatever the result is from my method t, and I actually can show it on the console here. So it's very easy to pass the results back. So I'm going to do a demo here, and in this demo, you'll see how the code works just in the regular synchronous way that we're writing it right now. I'm going to show you how we do that, and then I'm going to show you how the code works with threads, and then I'm going to show you how the code works when you're using system.threading.tasks. So I have some example code here that I'm going to show you how we use sequential approach, the threads, and system.threading.tasks. And I'm going to use Task Manager to show you how the CPU actually uses up or is being used on each of these. So I'm going to put this Task Manager up here in the upper right-hand corner. And then I'm going to walk you through the code. So to start with, I'm going to use a stopwatch. First of all, I'm going to create about 1,000 node tree. And we're going to do some processing in that tree. And the processing consists of just doing a quick wait. Waits for a little bit on each of the nodes. We're going to use a stopwatch. Now, the stopwatch will give us an accurate enough information about an order of magnitude look and see how fast the walking the tree happens. And then we're going to walk the tree on each one, and we're going to do that three times. And the first time, we're just going to, oh, and then it's going to report back out the elapsed time. When we walk the tree, we're going to start out by doing the sequential approach here. So here we go. We're going to run it. So basically, this is the way you would write your code now. You have walk the tree left, walk the tree right. You process each item, and you see how it goes. And you see here that it looks like it maxes out, but it really doesn't. That's Visual Studio taking care of the debugging operation. But you see that it really uses only one of the processors when it's actually running this task. And it goes at about 65%, and the elapsed time is about 16 seconds. So we're going to go ahead and comment this out, and then we're going to use the threads. Now, typically you wouldn't create 1,000 threads, but the idea here is to show you that in compute-intensive work, you might want to create that many tasks. We're actually running this in x86 emulation mode, so you can expect a crash on from the threads. And what it does is it starts out, it uses both the processors, and it just goes crazy here. And as time goes on, as it creates those, it's doing context switching on each thread, it's creating memory for each thread, it's disposing of each thread as it walks through the tree. And here you see it gets closer to how it actually runs. It's running about 65% here as it walks through creating threads and doing all the things it needs to do, including capturing my audio and video here, which is why it's running fairly well here. So, and as you can see, it's taking longer than 16 seconds to do that same amount of work. And depending on the number of processors, it'll actually crash here. Rather than have you guys wait for all that, let's just go on to the next one. The next one is the parallel approach, where you use tasks. And we're going to go ahead and show you how to do this. In this case, we're going to go ahead and walk the tree, and we're going to do that by passing in this delegate for tree walking into the task, and then we're going to start it for each side. In this case, we're going to have to wait for the left and right to be done, and the reason we want to do that is otherwise the code would just go on and it would spin off all these tasks, and the main task would just keep going. The main process would just keep going, and it would return instantly, and you wouldn't get to see how long it actually took to do all the different processes. So we're going to do exactly the same thing as we did before, only this time we're going to call tasks for each one, and we'll see how that goes. Here it does spin up both processes. The tasks do take advantage of both processors, and it takes about 8 seconds to do that particular process. So instead of 16 seconds in the sequential approach, instead of taking a long time and probably crashing on an x86 machine, the threads never did finish, and in the parallel approach we take about 8 seconds. So in this demo, you saw the code as we write it today in a very synchronous way. You saw how we use threads and how it crashed whenever because we had way too many threads. And then we saw how the code works when you use system.threading.task, and we saw how it efficiently takes advantage of both processors on my particular laptop here. So far we've shown you why we do it. We've talked about threading.task, and in part 3 we'll show you about how to use those three different ways of doing tasks, and we'll show you how to do it in action. So here are some resources for you to be able to look up. There's the Microsoft.com on the R2 website for Windows Server 2008 R2. There's the Concurrency Dev Center, and there's a set of developer team blogs that you might be interested in. I've also pointed out Jason Etheridge's blog posting on .NET 4 and system.threading.task. That's the top one. And I've gone ahead and put this second one here. This is how you can get started using multi-core parallel processing you can use. Is a blog posting that I did that is basically gives you all the code that I've shown you in this presentation and gives you the context in one easy-to-use location. So we'll see you next time.